Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm guest bailiff Scott Adson. This week, Lawn and Order. Jumi brings the case against her husband, Josh. Josh thinks they need a riding mower to tame their front and back yards. Jumi says the idea is absurd and impractical. Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom.
There's no one knows your life better than a bailiff that's near your age. He knows who you are and what you are better than anyone on earth. My bailiff and I said some unforgivable things the last time we met, and I'm trying to put that behind me. And this trip is a hard swallow of my pride. I just hope I'm not too late. A bailiff's a bailiff. Scott, swear him in.
Jumi and Josh, please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God or whatever?
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that Judge John Hodgman has only ridden a tractor once in his life, and that was as Farmer McField in his school's production of Why We Eat Vegetables, and that tractor was played by his classmate Bobby Swantek, and that school was Yale University?
I do.
Thank you. Judge Hodgman, you may proceed.
Thank you very much, guest bailiff Scott Adsit. What a pleasure to have you here again. For an immediate summary judgment in your favor, Jumi or Josh or Scott, you can also play. Can you name the piece of culture that I paraphrased and made reference to as I entered the courtroom? Scott?
Was it Ocean's 12?
Incorrect. And not close. Jumi?
Was it The Lawnmower Man?
Oh. Maybe I should have thought of that one. That would have been good for this case, wouldn't it have been? But that was not what came to mind when I was trying to come up with something to say as I entered the courtroom. Josh, it all comes down to you.
Of Pride and Prejudice, Zombie Edition?
No. You mean Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
Yes.
Yeah. No, again. It was from a film called The Straight Story, 1999, starring Richard Farnsworth, directed by David Lynch, based on a true story about an older guy, a farmer in the Midwest, whose brother is dying, and he cannot get his driver's license renewed due to failing eyesight and a bad leg. So he drives his riding lawnmower hundreds and hundreds of miles to see his dying brother. Jumi, you have a bone to pick with your husband. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what is the pick and bone?
So the pick and bone is that Josh. Well, we have a lawnmower currently, but our lawnmower is dying, and it's about 10 years old. It's time to replace it. And so as we're looking for a new lawnmower, Josh insists on getting a riding lawnmower, also known as a lawn tractor. That has a cup holder.
I'll take your word for what it's also known as. I don't have one. And then you threw in, like, with an arched eyebrow, that has a cup holder, which would seem, you know, like as though I know what that signifies. What does that signify to you, Jumi?
It signifies the fact that mowing the lawn when you're riding one of these things is a very lazy activity, that you don't even need both hands, so you can use one hand to drink a beer.
I would like to submit that comment as evidence.
As evidence of what, Josh?
That it makes lawn mowing easier, and therefore you'll do it more.
Oh, I thought you were going to use it as evidence of Jumi's incredibly snobby attitude towards suburban conveniences.
Jumi does seem to be in contempt of Josh.
I hold you in contempt of
Always.
Josh, Jumi. How long have you been married to one another?
6 months on Saturday.
Oh, congratulations. So you are newlyweds.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, how long?
Congratulations. This is about a seventh year argument.
Yeah, you're speeding up the bridge to total marriage fighting.
We did get married when there wasn't any grass on the ground, so.
Well, true. did you did you meet the day before? Was this an arranged marriage, or did you not know that you would have such fundamental disputes as to whether or not to ride on a lawnmower?
I think last summer still, I mean, we have been together for a while, but last summer the lawnmower still worked, so it wasn't an issue.
Okay.
Because we had a lawnmower.
Well, wait a minute. How long have you guys been dating before getting married?
She knew me back in 2003.
Yeah, but we've been dating since about 2006.
Okay, dating since about 2006. Cohabiting, how long?
Since about 2006.
Oh, okay. So you guys have been living together for quite a while in sin.
Yes.
Yes.
And now you've made it right before the dread god Cthulhu.
Yes. Or whatever.
Spaghetti god.
Exactly. And have you lived in the same place the entire time, or has that changed?
No, it's been the same house.
All right. Describe the house and the grounds to me.
Okay. So we live in a suburb of Minneapolis in a standard sort of, it's a rambler, so single story home, about 1,200 square feet.
Wait a minute. And a rambler, is that a term? Have you ever heard that before, Scott?
I have not, Judge.
A rambler. What is, am I watching HGTV all of a sudden?
Does it sing Western songs to you as you sleep?
It's a boxy house, one story.
In other places of the world, they would call it a bungalow. But when I moved to Minnesota, I learned that these were called ramblers.
So that's a Minnesotan thing?
Apparently.
Okay. So it's a one-story box home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Rambler makes it seem like the house is wandering around the neighborhood.
Just give me cool land, lots of land, and the starry skies above. Don't mow my lawn. don't laugh at that. That was terrible. Go on. So you live in a one-story rambler.
Mm-hmm. House and the garage probably take up like a third of the whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So our lot's about a quarter of an acre.
So, and your argument is that this is too little land to merit something to ride around on.
Indeed.
All right. And you submitted some evidence to this, you either made use of a popular internet mapping service that taps into our satellites to look at yourselves
yes.
from a bird's eye view, or else you have your own predator drone.
I think it was Google's Do You Need a Ride in Lawnmower app.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you for buzz marketing the service that I was trying to avoid mentioning.
Yeah. So there's an overhead view of the lot. And then also that service that invades our privacy also drove by the house and took a picture.
And this is
the
in
front yard.
This is in Minnesota.
Yes,
this is very charming. This looks like the neighborhood from Peanuts cartoons.
Yeah, yeah. I think that
this is
Charles
the
Schultz was from south of here.
Yeah,
like south of Minneapolis. But yeah,
this makes sense. This is the land of Charles Schultz because it looks. Are you looking at this, Scott? Do you have access to these materials?
Yes.
And but you know what I mean? Don't you sort of feel like you're going to see like a troop of neurotic kids.
Yes, and maybe very low walls that they could lean on.
Yeah, exactly. When maybe a guy didn't feel like drawing bodies that day.
So it's a lazy neighborhood, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying it's a extremely classic capital S suburb of the kind that you don't see a lot anymore, and is very typical of suburban Twin Cities, in my experience, driving around there looking for Charles Schultz's house late at night for reasons.
Your Honor, we actually live in a, it used to be a place called Oak Park, and all the houses are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same layout. Some of them, they'll just put a second story on. So you see, when you drive around the neighborhood, everybody does the best they can to make their house not look like everybody else's.
Right.
But they all still look the same.
They all still look the same.
And your solution to individuate yourself from your neighbors is to pretend that you are a farmer.
Correct.
All right. So, Josh, I haven't heard much from you because obviously in this marriage and relationship, you were constantly being shouted down by Jumi. So tell me your story.
My story is I actually lived with my grandparents out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They retired to a tree farm. Of all places.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is when I was a kid, before
like
I drove a
tree,
car.
Like a Christmas tree farm?
Christmas trees, basically, we let them grow a lot bigger than that. They're for the DNR. So maple and spruce.
They're for the do not resuscitate order?
Exactly.
What is it? What is it? Department of Natural Resources. Is that what that is? DNR?
Correct. Yes.
Don't drop a bunch of initials on me and expect me to know what you're talking about. Okay. I didn't grow up in a tree farm. All right. Oh. I grew up in a city, Brookline, Massachusetts. So why were you growing these trees?
So basically the DNR wants to reforest and they create habitat for animals. Mm-hmm. My grandparents used to have a tree trimming business where they would either trim or cut down trees. Tornadoes came through and my grandpa would go up on ropes and basically drop the tree down limb by limb to not hit the house or anything like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And after he retired, he decided to give back to the community of trees and ended up basically took over a farm and planted spruce and maple trees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then basically I moved out there when once I got done with elementary school. And before I drove a car, I ended up having a Cub Cadet lawn tractor that I drove around, and I'd drive it down to down to the local town, pull boats and trailers and that kind of stuff.
Wait a minute. So you, Richard Farnsworth, did up? You would drive around on a lawn tractor?
Yep. I had a trailer with a chair in it so I could carry people.
You had a trailer? What? What kind of chair? Please tell me it was a rocking chair.
No. It's something I welded up. So
you welded up a chair?
Yep.
And you put it in the what do you mean you welded it up? You made a chair out of iron trimmings that you got from your granddaddy's iron farm?
Exactly.
You made a chair?
Yep.
Okay. And then you put it into the trailer?
No, it was the trailer. So you were just you were in a chair with wheels underneath it.
The chair was the trailer?
Down the road, yep.
Well, you made a transformer?
Yes.
You made a trailer that could also be a chair?
Correct. It was.
I've read about this
trailer.
Yeah, tell me.
I've read about this kind of person. There are people out there who actually make things that are physical and can be used by people in a physical way.
Well, sure. Look, I read the same legends in school books as you did, but this guy is saying he actually did it with his own hands.
Is there any photographic evidence of that?
Yeah, I'd like to see a picture of your crazy.
There is. We couldn't find the picture to scan it in.
Uh-huh. See what I mean, Scott? See what I mean? There's no proof that these people ever existed. Yeah, look, you're biased. You're running this hoax too. You might as well be peddling Bigfoot to me right now, Josh. What was the furthest distance you drove on your weird Jed Clampett rig?
Probably about 8 miles to Luck, Wisconsin from Atlas.
At what speed?
About 20 miles an hour.
It's pretty fast.
Yeah, I modified the governor on the carburetor, so.
Uh-huh. And who were you giving?
With a rope.
who were you giving a ride to, and how long would they manage to stay on?
It was just a boat trailer, so.
Wait, but you put a chair in there so you could give rides to people. Who did you give a ride to?
But not that far. To my aunt and my brother.
Uh-huh. And only one person could sit there?
Well, if you had you could put a puppy on your lap, but that was about it.
Okay. This is what we used to call a Minnesota pedicab. No, excuse me, a Wisconsin. Wisconsin pedicab. So you then fall in love with Jimmy. You move into a house that constrains you. You're a man of the tree farm, not a man of the neurotic Peanuts 1950s. You push around. What kind of lawnmower did you have before this? The one that
it was a 5-horsepower Craftsman lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
Only mulching. It didn't have a bag attachment, but it didn't have like a side discharge chute.
There's a picture of that.
Yes, I see the picture of it there. And you, of course, the first thing I noticed was its lack of a side discharge chute.
Well, that brings up a good point, because our grass actually grows a lot faster, and there's a lot of areas that are pretty thick. And the problem with the push mower is it just doesn't have the power to cut the grass consistently. So what ends up happening is if you use the bag attachment, it fills the bag up in one rotation of going around the yard. Or if you have just mulch in, it clogs it up and it dies right away. So you're constantly starting the thing again.
So you're making the argument that this 5-horsepower lawnmower, which I now understand no longer works, right? So it's kind of it's mooted.
It's still running. Like I was surprised when it started up this spring, but it has started the times we've needed it this year. So,
Jumi, do you agree that it is time for some kind of new lawn mowing technology?
Absolutely.
All right. And your objection to the riding mower, which you have yet or you do not yet have, Josh?
I was trying to start the push mower. I got frustrated. So I went on, sorry, I'm not going to say the name of it, but local sell-in site. And found a really good deal. It was an antique John Deere lawn tractor with a brand new engine.
And you rode your push broom right over and picked it up.
Yep. And he had it for $175. I talked him down to $100. Brought it home. And the moment I got it home, Jimmy looked at it and she said, "No, we are not having a riding lawnmower. Get that thing out of here."
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up, one of my buddies had just moved to a house from a townhome where they mow their lawn for them. Mm-hmm. And so he was looking for a riding lawnmower. So I sold it to him.
Why was he looking for one? They mow it for him, right?
No, he went from a townhome to a place.
He has to mow his own lawn. And he's having the time of his life, correct?
Exactly.
Is the thing working okay?
Yeah. So he loves it.
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and you know what I don't see?
What?
Well, first of all, you know what I do see? Something that might be a side discharge chute.
Yep.
And what I don't see is a cup holder. And then
there was pictures with the cup holder, but I think due to bandwidth size, I didn't give them to you.
Uh-huh. But what I do see is a really nice looking, beautiful John Deere golden green lawn tractor.
So 1970s.
It's like, yeah. And you got it for what?
$100.
$100. And it worked? Did you try it out at all?
It did. I mowed the lawn twice with it.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was waiting for my friend to come pick it up.
And did you have memories of being a young man dragging your aunt along the rural routes of Wisconsin with a puppy on your lap?
I did. I actually hooked it up to my boat and trailer and just drove around the yard a few times in memory of it. So,
well, it started as nostalgia, now turned into mania. So, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
I don't see the argument here. What is the argument? Why did you make him give this thing away?
There's a few reasons. The first is that we don't have space to store it. So it takes up significantly a larger space in the garage than the regular lawnmower does.
You have a one-car garage or two-car garage?
It is one workshop, one motorcycle, and a lot of spare parts garage.
So no car goes in there?
Unfortunately not, no.
If there were a car to go in there, would it be a one-car garage or a two-car garage?
It would be a two-car garage.
All right, go on. Next reason.
Because of our lot is so small and because we don't have hills, I feel that our neighbors will laugh at us for using a riding lawnmower while we are like able-bodied adults.
Mm-hmm.
And the last reason is that basically I don't get along very well with small engines and they tend not to start off well for me and they don't run very well. So I like things to be less complicated. And so a riding lawnmower is more complicated than a push mower. And so there's more points of failure where I won't be able to mow the lawn. And then the neighbors will judge us for not having our lawn mowed.
Well, first of all, I have two questions. One is about your neighbors. Why are they such jerks? If they're constantly laughing at you and judging you, maybe you should move.
Have you ever heard of the term Minnesota nice?
Yes, I have.
Well, that's it right there.
Yeah.
They're from Wisconsin.
No.
Yeah, but
no, they're from here.
How would you describe Minnesota nice to the listeners who maybe have not heard it before?
Minnesota nice is a sort of passive aggressive, very nice to your face, but immediately as soon as you're out of the room, a lot of back talking and cattiness.
This is coming from a Canadian, by the way.
Where are you from in Canada, Jimmy?
I am from Toronto.
Have you ever heard the term Toronto nice?
Never once in my life.
It just means you're pretty nice.
People from any other place in Canada wouldn't agree with you on
really?
That one.
Really? You think people in other parts of Canada think that people from Toronto are cool lawnmower haters who like to deny happiness among of their partners?
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if Toronto had that reputation.
I actually thought my interpretation of Canadians when I married her was that they were able to cut a tree down and skin a bear and that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, I found out that Toronto is much like a metropolis
really
city.
Yeah, it's a big city. But I don't know why you're injecting. The fact that Jumi doesn't have good luck with small engines doesn't mean that she's any less an awesome person.
Oh, no, this no. She's totally awesome. Right. She just doesn't like riding lawnmowers.
Do you have any evidence that your neighbors are two-faced, awful people like you fear?
No.
Do you have any evidence that if it were not for, let me put it this way. Do you have any evidence that if you had a regular lawnmower and that you able-bodiedly pushed it around, these awful two-faced phonies were going to like you anymore if they are, in fact, awful two-faced phonies? Or maybe they'll just find something else to talk about behind your back.
This is all purely conjecture.
Right. Do you have, Jumi, you say that you have trouble with small engines. Do you guys have a lawn mowing labor sharing plan where you guys agree that you take turns? Is it the case that you're going to be mowing this lawn a lot?
So most of the time it's Josh who mows the lawn. But there's times when Josh for work is out of town. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time that's in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And so at those times I end up having to mow the lawn. And then I also end up mowing the lawn when there has been a long period of weeks where the lawn has not been mowed for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's very long and then I need to mow it and then the lawnmower doesn't work and I am disappointed.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you have to mow the lawn, Josh? How often does it need to be mowed, Josh or Jumi, whoever has an answer ready?
Well, the funny thing is it used to not be that much, but Jumi wanted us to try to kill the dandelions, so she wanted us to consistently mow more often. And with the increased rain, it grows a lot faster. So probably about once every week.
Mm-hmm. And why are you leaving home for long stretches of time in the summer?
I'm in the Minnesota National Guard, and they've been sending me. So I've been deployed 3 times already. A bunch of the times it's you have to go to camp or get called away for a school. So
Okay. Well, thank you for your service. Where have you been deployed?
Twice to Iraq, once to Kuwait.
Okay. Yeah, I can see why.
They don't have lawns there.
No, so. I guess not. And how do you respond to Jumi's argument that when you are off being an American hero, that she can't mow the lawn properly on a riding lawnmower?
Well, the thing
I didn't mean for that to sound sarcastic, by the way.
No, that's fine.
I was trying to emphasize the fact that not only does this riding lawnmower bring you pleasure in concept and in execution, but also you are a member of the Minnesota National Guard who is serving overseas and maybe should enjoy a thing from time to time.
So the main thing is I actually would counter that riding lawnmower is easier to start. It's got electric start. You're not yanking on it at all. You just push a button. So if that doesn't work, then you just go charge the battery. I mean, it's a lot better than trying to pull in a cord for half the afternoon and hoping that it'll start.
Jumi, during the brief period that you had the riding lawnmower, the John Deere 1970s version, did you try to use it at all?
I rode it once, but Josh started it for me.
Uh-huh.
And it has a pull cord start.
Well, that one did.
But
Josh,
other
you're thinking about getting a what if you were gonna if I'm gonna rule in your favor and you were gonna get a new riding lawnmower, would you get a new riding lawnmower or were you gonna go to a local selling website that shall remain unnamed and do some of your patented tree farmer haggling?
I would go back to my old Cub Cadet lawn tractor that I had as a kid. I would try to find one of those.
Wait a minute. Are you buying something to mow the lawn or to putt-putt down memory lane?
Both.
But if you really, you have a list of ways to counter Jumi's arguments. One of them is she can't properly mow the lawn when you're away. If you get one of these things and you want to get a Cub Cadet from when you were a kid, my memory is that to start one of those things, you had to pull two ripcords and use an old timey can opener to pull the pop top.
Nope, that had electric start too, and a automatic transmission.
It had an electric start and an automatic transmission?
And an automatic transmission, a hydrostatic automatic transmission.
All right, you don't have, you know what? You are an American hero, but you don't have to throw around a lot of words that I don't know. All right, I get it.
Yeah, don't start singing Grease Lightning.
Or if you know the words, do start singing it.
Go Grease Lightning.
Go on.
That's pretty much as much as I know.
Grease Lightning, go Grease Lightning.
Okay, yeah, I know those words too.
All right, well, I was singing backup for you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, all right. So what counter arguments do you have to make to Jumi?
For the yard is too small to mow often. It takes about 2 hours to mow the front and back yard. So doing a push mower, it's just going to take that. Even though it's a small yard, we have to mow it more often. She said that we're young and able, and therefore we shouldn't need it. I've had 3 deployments. My back is bad. And young people become old people by not embracing labor-saving technology.
Wait a minute. Young people become old people by not embracing labor-saving technology?
Correct.
No, that's how obese teenagers start riding around in jazzies. Uh-huh. And then you started, this is, I don't know that it's befitting of the Minnesota National Guard for you to start playing the pity card. Well, I've been overseas and my back hurts. And also my PTSD. Look, those are real and very serious issues. But I don't think you should deploy them in service of getting a lawnmower, sir.
Okay. I suppose that's fair.
It'll take less time. So I'm going to strike away your argument about young people stay young by augmenting their bodies with enhancements or something. Strike that. It'll take less time. It'll be easier for you, right?
Roger.
We'll leave it at that argument. Thank you.
Yep.
Jumi, well, I think. What, okay. Josh, you understand. I'm going to rule in your favor. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You may.
Wait a second.
You may want to be careful. Well, Jumi, you can hear where this is going, right?
Sadly, yes.
So let me hear a final argument. A closing argument that's gonna change my mind. I mean, you want me to rule in your favor. Tell me why and what ruling you would like me to make, because you do have to change technology here or upgrade your mowing, because this sounds like the old 5 HP has got a malfunctioning discharge, non-existent discharge chute with a lack of hydrostatic transmission, at Marine National Guard or whatever. So what? What would you offer instead?
I would like for you to rule that we purchase either a completely non-powered manual real lawnmower, or if it must be a powered push mower, then a self-propelled mower with an electric start. And in the alternative, if you do rule in favor of Josh, I ask that you add a proviso that he not ride the lawnmower down the street. And the reason for why you should rule for me,
yes,
is that as much as this particular piece of equipment would bring Josh joy, he has a number of pieces of equipment that make him happy. And
that should be enough. Like what equipment does he have that makes him happy?
Currently, there is a Bobcat in the backyard. I guess a non-specified brand skid loader.
Uh-huh. Okay. I don't know what that is.
It's got a tractor, like track wheels, and it's got a little scoop in the front, and you use it for like moving dirt around,
mm-hmm,
and like medium-sized landscaping jobs.
Josh, is that something you can ride down the street?
Yes. Yes, it is. And chase children.
And do you do that?
Not yet. So mm-hmm. You won't let me.
Okay. Why can't he ride his Bobcat down the street, Jumi?
I'm pretty sure it's not legal.
What? All right. Go on.
He has a boat, a speedboat, and he has a, he currently has a dirt bike, but I'm under advisement that the dirt bike is going away. And he also has a
motorcycle.
He has a number of trailers and various welding equipment and multiple metal lathes.
Let me ask you this question. Do you have a motorcycle, Jimmy?
I do have a motorcycle.
Okay. Get rid of it. We'll see you next time on the Judge Sean Hodgman podcast.
But it's fun and it brings me some joy.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter.
But it's all I have when my husband is overseas and I'm all at home, alone.
Yeah, but don't you think the neighbors are talking about it?
Yeah, they probably think it's awesome.
Do you think, here's a serious question, and I would like you to answer honestly. Do you think that your husband has all of these things because he makes use of them and they enhance his pleasure and happiness in life? Or do you think he has a problem and he's hoarding machines and tools and stuff because he is a broken human being who can't stop thinking about rural Wisconsin?
The answer to that question can't be both.
No. I appreciate that it's a spectrum, but you have to pick.
Yeah, these things do, in fact, give him pleasure and enjoyment, and he does use them.
Sometimes for the benefit of her.
Yes.
But not often.
Not as much as would warrant actually owning these things as opposed to renting them when needed.
I think I've heard everything I need to make my decision. I'm going to ride this this egg beater into my chambers, and I will consider my decision. I'll be back in a moment.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Well, Jumi and Josh, let me ask you, Jumi, how do you think if Judge John Hodgman rules in favor of your husband, how will this change your relationship?
It means that I don't think it will change our relationship at all.
So this has no consequences whatsoever?
No, except in terms of like if I will ever be able to park my car in the garage, and the answer to that will become no.
And you seem to be very concerned about the neighbors and their judgment of you through Josh.
Well, their judgment of both of us, yes.
So you're protecting your husband, really, when you're telling him not to enjoy himself.
I only want what's best for him.
What is your rank, Josh?
I'm a staff sergeant.
Staff sergeant. So you're used to taking orders, but also giving some as well.
Correct.
And do you find yourself in... What would you say Jumi's rank is?
I would say wife of the household, which is probably above most other ranks.
That is an officer position, I would think.
Correct.
Okay. And Josh, how do you think the relationship might change if you lost this case?
I would probably buy a few goats and put them in the backyard. If we're going to go back in time to the Bronze Age, we might as well do that. So
that's nice. You can ride those as well.
Exactly.
Is the cup holder a Bronze Age invention?
I think it was. They haven't proven it yet, but they had cups back then.
We'll be right back in just a moment with Judge John Hodgman's ruling.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right, I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In, because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton, or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I've got, and I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
Well, first of all, I've been looking at this surveillance photos of your home, and there is no question in my mind that this is not a home that requires a riding lawnmower in order to tend to the lawn, no matter what Staff Sergeant Josh says. It could be handled very easily by a powered push mower with an appropriate discharge chute mounted on it. And if you were truly of a puritanical mind or simply belonged to some bizarre religious sect, even a regular old-timey push mower, what Jumi refers to rather snobbly as a real lawnmower, could probably do the job.
I didn't mean real as in not fake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Look, you know what? You used a word and I took its meaning. That could probably do the job if you had, as I say, if you belonged to a religious sect that hated convenience and wanted to waste as much time as possible before you die. And so if there were the situation that, I would almost be inclined to rule for Jumi if there were mitigating factors such as, there was, well, I can't even think of what they would be. I guess if you guys couldn't afford $100 for a riding lawnmower that looks awesome, then maybe there would be that. If it were the case that Jumi, you were the person who mowed the lawn 90% of the time or even 70% of the time, I would say, you know, possession is 9/10 of the lawn. You know what I mean? And you would be able to pick the tool that you get to use for it. But that's not the case. And what's more, Josh has made a fairly compelling argument, if only by virtue of the wistfulness of his voice, that having a riding lawnmower and riding it around and dragging family members behind him and doing and transporting lap puppies is a part of his life that he wishes he had back. And then there is the issue of this John Deere, which, you know, I am a man of civilization. I am a nerd. I grew up in a non-rural suburban affluent community known as Brookline, Massachusetts. And I have never sat on a riding lawnmower in my life. But just like pornography, I know what an awesome riding lawnmower looks like when I see it. And that was a thing of beauty that your husband bought. And that to me is more telling than anything else, that this is as much an aesthetic choice as it is a functional one, or I should say as an aesthetic choice or preference that happens to coincide with functionality. Because this thing that he wants is something that is part of a deeper yearning that he has. And the evidence, Jumi, that you have attempted to provide that this would have some negative impact on your lives, unfortunately, is not very compelling because you've not been able to demonstrate that the neighbors would be put out, that they would even be upset, never mind that they might snigger behind your back. If they snigger behind your back, who cares? You know, your husband is in the Minnesota National Guard, American hero, and you're Jumi, you're awesome. Why do you care what they think? So there is, unfortunately, Jumi, no strong evidence here that would compel me to prohibit your husband from getting a thing that would make him happy. Yes, it's unnecessary, but owning things that are unnecessary is the definition of aesthetic. The definition of aesthetic is a thing that does more than simply serve a purpose, but pleases the soul and mind in a different way. And there is no question in my mind that bobcats and dirt bikes aside, this is part of the physical mise-en-scène that will make your husband happy, just as your motorcycle makes you happy. Here's the other thing. I know that thing that he buys is going to be fun to ride. And if you like a motorcycle, you're going to like riding this thing. I betcha. This isn't part of the ruling, and I can't make anyone like what they're going to like or not. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll hate it just out of spite. But my guess is you get on that Cub Cadet, you're going to be seeing grease lightning all the way to the neighbor's house. You are going to go over to those young neighbors that you hate so much, and you're going to sing Grease Lightning, and you guys are going to have a Cub Cadet race. Maybe it won't work out exactly that way. But in the meantime, I think your husband Josh has demonstrated a true desire for a thing. You have not demonstrated why it would cause any harm. He has demonstrated good taste in the previous tractor that he bought and that you made him give up. Cup holders or no, I find in favor of Josh. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules that is all.
Well, that is the end of that case. And Josh and Jumi, thank you so much for joining us. Any final comments before you leave the courtroom?
I do admit that it will be fun to drive.
If she lets me get it.
I'll abide by the ruling.
That is the law. Jumi, Josh, thank you for joining us. It has been just a ginormous joy.
It's great. It's great, guys. You know what? It's going to be fine, Jumi. Because here's the thing. I'm just going to say one last thing. It's like, you know what? You give this guy his toy, right? He's going to be like Snoopy. He's going to be dancing. He's going to be dancing for joy all the time. You take this thing away from him, you're like Lucy taking away the football from Charlie Brown. He's going to be walking around the neighborhood, head down, like an 8-year-old talking about how clinically depressed he is, like a Charlie Brown walking around the neighborhood.
He'll also be sitting on his doghouse pretending it's a tractor.
Thanks for being good sports, guys.
Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Oh, Judge John Hodgman?
Oh, hey, Scott, how are you? I'm sorry, I'm just trying to start up this automatic gin shaker. I should have gotten the one with the electric push start, you know what I mean?
I understand. We have some things on the docket we'd like to clear up. Would you like to do that now?
What are you using the royal? You using the royal we there, Scott?
Would you like to do some of your job?
Okay, understood, guest bailiff. Ooh, pushy guest bailiff.
All right, well, Christopher writes, my wife Christy and I have a dispute regarding our cat Hunter. I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Have a dispute regarding our cat Hunter. Our cat wears no clothing, so I say Hunter is naked or nude. Christy insists that Hunter has a permanent fur coat and is therefore neither naked nor nude, but appropriately clothed. She points to the existence of the naked mole rat in support of her claim. I think this talk of hairless animals being naked is so much metaphor and only obscures an evident truth. Clothing is an article, not something that naturally grows out of one's body. No clothing means nudity. Could you please settle this matter once and for all time?
Yeah. Unless you are knitting little sweaters and pantaloons for Hunter, what you have is a nude cat. Naked mole rat is a etymological anomaly that I think is not representative of how we use language. In this case, it is being used to describe a hairless mole rat, and naked is simply being used as emphasis to emphasize just how disgusting and horrible this thing is to behold, like most naked men. Do you know what I mean? But I would say that a cat that has fur is no more clothed than a nude Frenchman at a nude beach, because that guy's got a lot of fur too.
I would say if you can see a cat's nipples, that cat is naked.
That's an interesting, but you know, seeing the nipples, you know, you can, you know, it used to be you'd see a lot of men's nipples in 70s movies and stuff, but they were clothed. You know what I mean?
Well, I didn't want to say butthole or penis.
Thank you for that. Your consideration, guest bailiff Scott Adsit, is well appreciated. No, your cat is naked, lady. Stop it. Next.
Chris writes, my wife and I can't agree on what to name our not yet born baby girl. And he's given us a list. Leah.
Uh-huh.
Or Leigh. How do you pronounce L-E-A-H?
Leah.
Not, it is Leah.
Not Leigh.
Leigh would have an I in there. And a G.
L-E-I. Well, that would be Lee.
Ah.
Lei is something you either do or wear in Hawaii. And if it's something you wear in Hawaii, it is L-E-I, I believe. But there is no human name that is Lei that I'm aware of, and I can't wait. I cannot wait to get your letters.
Scarlet?
That's actually pronounced Scarletti.
I apologize. Victoria?
That's Victorinox.
Evelyn?
Evelyn Waugh.
And Chenault. How spelled is that spelled? It's spelled Chenault.
Oh, no, that's Renault Lacar. I would never, ever, ever presume to name someone's baby. Scott would do it in a second, but I'm holding him back.
I would say the name Lei is very pretty.
It's not, and especially not for a girl, Scott, for obvious reasons.
Explain it.
No. But because you provided a list, I'm willing... Of potential names, I am willing to give my opinion, and Scott, I would welcome your opinion. If you have truly narrowed it down to these five, Leia, Scarlet, Victoria, Evelyn, and Chenault, I think Chenault must be a family name, in which case I would say it would be pretty cool for a girl to have the name Chenault, but I can't know whether there would be a nickname, and it still sounds like kind of a drugstore perfume. So no. Leia is a lovely name. Scarlet, that's too O'Hara. Victoria and Evelyn. Scott, what do you think? Leia, Victoria, or Evelyn?
Well, I think if you want to go a unique route, you would combine two of the names and make it Scarlet.
No Lei of any kind.
I don't know. Scar.
Scarlet.
And Lei.
Scartoria.
Yeah.
Scartoria.
Well, anything with scar in it, I think, is kind of dangerous.
Of these, I would say the one that speaks to me most that I would consider for my own daughter is Evelyn. Just because that's not one you see very often these days and doesn't have the same fictional character baggage that Scarlet does. And Victoria is a queen. Chenault is a drugstore perfume. And Leia is a lovely name, but I've known lots of lovely Leahs. And maybe that's a little bit why I lean towards Evelyn, because I've never known an Evelyn in my life. And the beauty of it is that if your daughter does decide to become a transgendered person or to change her gender altogether, then she can keep her name, Evelyn. Also a men's name.
So, Everlay it is. Thank you, Judge John Hodgman.
Write it in ink. Hey, Scott Adsett, it was a pleasure to have you be our guest bailiff as Bailiff Jesse Thorne attended to some house-moving duties.
Wow. He moved his house?
He moved his whole house. It was his duty.
With a tractor, I hope.
I think he did, and with David Lynch filming him on an iPhone, because he's come around on that.
A very special thanks to Aaron Fichtelberg for this week's case name.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is a production of MaximumFun.org. Our special thanks to all of the folks who donate to support the show and all of our shows at MaximumFun.org/donate. The show is produced by Julia Smith and me, Jesse Thorne, and edited by Mark McConville. You can check out his podcast, Super Ego, in iTunes or online at GoSuperEgo.com. You can find John Hodgman online at AreasOfMyExpertise.com. If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. If you have thoughts about the show, join the conversation on our forum at forum.MaximumFun.org and our Facebook group at Facebook.com/Judge John Hodgman. We'll see you online and next time right here on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.